7 to 11 p.m. on Saturday night.
Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
The following program is pre-recorded.
Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, we remember and we lift up Chairman Fred Hampton, who was the head of the Black Panther Party in Chicago and was assassinated in an FBI-inspired COINTELPRO operation. In 1966, while studying at junior college, Fred Hampton became active in the civil rights movement. He joined the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, known as the NAACP, and was elected leader of the Youth Council of the group's West Suburban Branch. Meanwhile, in October of 1966, Bobby Seale and Huey Newton formed the Black Panther Party in Oakland, California. The revolutionary group was formed to protect Black and brown communities from police brutality and racism while campaigning against all poverty. The Black Panther Party also ran medical clinics and provided free food, the breakfast program, to school children. Fred Hampton founded the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party in November of 1968. He immediately established a community service program, including free breakfast for school children and a medical clinic that did not charge patients for treatment. Fred also taught political education classes and pushed for community control of local police. Perhaps one of Fred's most important accomplishments was organizing Chicago's most powerful organizations to not only stop fighting against each other, but to work together to fight poverty and racism. In May of 1969, Fred Hampton held a press conference where he announced a non-aggression pact between the groups and formed what he called a Rainbow Coalition. This Rainbow Coalition was multiracial and multi-generational alliance of Black, Latino, Native American, white, and all poor people fighting for liberation. The Rainbow Coalition included the Young Patriots Organization, a left-leaning organization of white Southerners from the uptown area of Chicago, the Young Lords Organization, a Puerto Rican liberation group, the Brown Berets, a Chicago liberation group, the American Indian Movement, the Red Guard Party, a Chinese leftist group, and the Black Panther Party. It was seen as a major threat to the establishment in the United States because it united poor people of all colors and backgrounds against the capitalist system. Eventually, the activities of the Black Panthers in Chicago came to the attention of J. Edgar Hoover, former director of the FBI. Hoover described the Panthers as, quote, the greatest threat to the internal security of the country, end of quote, and ordered that the Chicago police launch a violent crackdown on the organization. Within the Black Panther Party, William O'Neill, who was the captain of security of the Chicago chapter of the Black Panther Party, he was an FBI informant and provocateur. O'Neill had direct access to Fred Hampton, who had garnered attention from the FBI and its counterintelligence program known as COINTELPRO. In 1969, the Panther Party headquarters in Chicago's West Monroe Street was raided three times and over 100 members were arrested. In the early hours of December 4th, 1969, Fred Hampton and fellow Panther Mark Clark were shot and killed in their home. Witnesses have pointed out that Fred Hampton was wounded in the shoulder and then executed by the police with a shot in the head. Now, newly released government documents suggest that J. Edgar Hoover was directly involved in Fred Hampton's murder. Let us go to a clip now of Bobby Rush speaking at Fred Hampton's funeral.
We can mourn today But if we understood, Fred, that we are dedicated, that his life wasn't given in vain, then there won't be no more mornings tomorrow. That all our sorrow will be turned into action. Remember one thing, and that's be strong. He wasn't afraid of anything.
Our guest is Jeffrey Haas, the author of The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. He is an attorney and co-founder of the People's Law Office, whose clients included the Black Panthers, Students for a Democratic Society, community activists, and a large number of those opposed to the Vietnam War. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. And this is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth, at a time that the nation is so divided and expressed in the insurrection attempted coup that took place on January 6th of 2021. We today are going to be looking at a figure, a young leader in Chicago, Fred Hampton, and a great significance of Fred Hampton. And I'm so happy to be able to talk about Fred today for the entire hour, is that he worked, he was a Black Panther, and he worked to bring together the Puerto Rican community, Latinx today would be called community organizing, as well as some of the so-named street gangs, but also the Young Patriots, which was a group of white people and another impoverished white people in another part of town. He was able to bring people together across race. And that, I think, is one of the reasons, and he did it effectively, that he was seen as a threat by the FBI in their COINTELPRO program, and they organized for Fred Hampton to be assassinated. He was shot down and killed in his bed next to his wife, who was pregnant at the time. And to show you how deep all of this goes, and for those of you who are now doing activist work, to keep in mind that the head of the Black Panther Party in Chicago, Lima O'Neill, he was an FBI agent, and he gave the floor plans, basically, of Fred Hampton's apartment to the FBI, and for which he was paid and actually received a bonus of it. And I think that at this time in the country, when we are so divided, and we see attempts like the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, really working, organizing on a fusion basis, bringing people together across movements with their pillars of racism, poverty, ending racism, poverty, also the war economy and ecological devastation of what they call the nation's twisted moral narrative. And this isn't the first time. I mean, the history of fusion politics in the United States goes back to the Reconstruction era and the populist party a bit later on. But this kind of cross-racial organizing is really frowned upon by the powers that be in the United States, because there is the fear that if people are able to come together, the minority, the 1% that pretty much control things in the U.S. and also across the world, that they would be under threat because they are more of us than they are of them. So today we are going to be lifting up and remembering Fred Hampton. But I also have to say that we are also trying to keep the doors of this station open. So we are asking you throughout this hour to call us at 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. and pledge your support for this station. We do have some amazing thank you gifts to offer you today. And by the way, the author of The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther, he's waiting in the wings to speak with us. And we are delighted to be able to offer this incredible and must-have book as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 support for this station. That will be your thank you gift. We're also offering up rare material on Fred Hampton from deep within the Pacifica Radio archives. And indeed, one of those, there are several items that are part of what the archive collection. It's exclusive audio. It also includes audio that is still on reel-to-reel. It's a reel-to-reel tape, the case of Fred Hampton. And you calling and pledging us, pledging your support will help us to save this tape, because it the reel-to-reel deteriorates, and we really have to be able to save it and get it on CD. Again, that number to call is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. So the pledge for the Pacifica Radio Archives exclusive collection, that's only $75. That's a $75 pledge, and that will be your thank you gift. And of course, I really urge you to get both of them, to get the book, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, as well as the exclusive Fred Hampton material. What I'd like to do now is for you to hear the voice of Fred Hampton. He has that fast Chicago clip, but what he is talking about is just incredible. And we're going to play that clip. We're going to, after that, we're going to welcome our guests and give a breakdown of the depth of what Fred Hampton was talking about in this clip now. Let's go to that clip now.
So we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. A lot of people don't understand the Black Panther Party's relationship with white mother country radicals. A lot of people don't even understand that word that Elvis uses a lot. But what we're saying is that there are white people in the mother country that are for the same type of thing that we are for, stimulating revolution in the mother country. And we said that we work with anybody and form coalition with anybody that has revolution on their mind. And we're not a racist organization, because we understand that racism is an excuse used for capitalism. And we know that racism is just, it's a byproduct of capitalism. Everything would be all right if everything was put back in the hands of the people. And we're going to have to put it back in the hands of the people. With no education, the people take this local foundation and start stealing money, because they won't be really educated to why it's the people's thing anyway. You know what I'm saying? With no education, you have neo-colonialism instead of colonialism, like you got in Africa now, like you got in Haiti. So what we're talking about is there has to be educational program. That's very important. As a matter of fact, we are so important for us that a person has to go through 6 weeks of our political education before we can consider themselves a member of the party, able to even run out ideology for the party. Why? Because if they don't have an education, then they're nowhere. You dig what I'm saying? They're nowhere, because they don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. You might get people caught up in the emotionalist movement. You understand me? You might get them caught up in because they're poor and they want something. And then if they're not educated, they want more. And before you know it, they'll be capitalists. And before you know it, we have Negro imperialists. We don't think you fight fire with fire, bitch. We think you fight fire with water, bitch. We're going to fight racism, not racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight with socialism. We still have said we're not going to fight reactionaries and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reaction with all of those people to get together and have an international post-hand revolution. Black people need some peace. White people need some peace. And we are going to have to fight. We're going to have to struggle. We're going to have to struggle relentlessly to bring about some peace, because the people that we're acting for peace, they're a bunch of megalomaniac warmongers, and they don't even understand what peace means. And we've got to fight them. We've got to struggle with them to make them understand. said after this, and after I'm locked up, and after everybody's locked up, that you can jail revolutionaries, but you can't jail a revolution. Right. You might want to liberate like Eric Cleave out the country, but you can't run liberation out the country. You might murder a freedom fighter like Bobby Hutton, but you can't murder freedom fighting. And if you do, you come up with answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain. You come up with conclusions that don't conclude. So we're going to see about Bobby, regardless of what these people think we should do. Because school is not important and work is not important. Nothing's more important than stopping fascism, because fascism will stop us all.
Alrighty, so Fred Hampton is saying here, Chairman Fred Hampton, who is the head of the Black Panther Party, assassinated in an FBI COINTELPRO operation, working very closely with the Chicago police at the time. And he says, you know, you can't kill freedom fighting. You might kill a freedom fighter, but you can't kill freedom fighting. The message of Fred Hampton is, I think, critical today. A lot of people, you know, we talk a lot on this show. We talk about Malcolm X, another great leader. We talk about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. But frankly speaking, Chairman Fred Hampton, in my books, is a leader of that caliber. But it's one that his work and his significance is being repressed. It is not taught in the way that, even though it's limited, but you do hear some things about MLK, you do hear some things about Malcolm X and some other civil rights leaders, but you don't hear a whole heck of a lot about Fred Hampton. And that's one of the reasons today I have to make a goal of $2,000 during this hour. So if anybody can call and make a pledge at the $1,000 level and get the book we're offering, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther, please, it's a $120 pledge. We also have exclusive material on Fred Hampton about his life and his work. The pledge level for that is $75. That comes on an MP3 disc. And I suggest that you really get both of these items. I will need 11 people calling and pledging at the $195 level. That's just $33 a month for just 6 months. And you could get the book as well as you could get the exclusive material about Fred Hampton from the Pacifica Radio Archives. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Now, if four people call and pledge at the $500 level, we'll make our goal for this hour. If eight people call and pledge at the $250 level, that's $42 a month for 6 months, we'll make our goal. A dollar a day, six people, that's all I need, six of you calling and saying, I want to uplift Fred Hampton. I want his life and his work to be known not only by the next generation, but for the next seven generations. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Have a $120 pledge. You get the thank you gift, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, the book by Jeffrey Haas. Again, that number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. What I have to do now, we're just a little behind schedule here, is to welcome our guest, Jeffrey Haas. He is the author of The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. He is an attorney and the co-founder of the People's Law Office, whose clients include the Black Panthers, Students for a Democratic Society, community activists, and a large number of those opposed to the Vietnam War. He has handled cases involving prisoners' rights, Puerto Rican nationalists, protesters opposed to human rights violations in Central America, police torture, and wrongfully accused. Jeffrey Haas, an honor to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Margaret. It's an honor to be here.
Right now, you just heard the voice of Fred, so astute in his analysis about what it means to be a revolutionary, about crossing the divides, the importance of black people coming together with what he called right radicals. You know, the Black Panther Party, they met with the Young Patriots, who were white people, bringing people together. And interestingly enough, a similar sector of people that today perhaps are Trumpsters to some degree, if you would believe this, but Fred managed somehow to cross those divides. Tell us just your thoughts, but also about this book and the importance of this book that you've written.
Well, thank you. It's always inspiring to hear Fred's words. Was actually at one of those speeches when he just came out of prison, and there was this tremendous chanting of Free Fred Hampton, and he appeared, and he had been in the prison in Menard, and we had gotten him out on a appeal bond, and he came out and gave some of those inspiring remarks about telling people, if you're asked to make a commitment at the age of 20 and you say, I'm too young, at the age of 20, I'm too young to die, you're dead already. And let me say, freedom if you're willing to fight for it. So, and peace if you're willing to fight for it. So I was at that, and then Fred had us all stand up and said, raise your right hand. And I did, and everybody else did, and he said, repeat after me. And he said, I am. He said, I am. And then he said, a revolution. Well, I considered myself a lawyer for the movement, but not necessarily of the movement. So the words kind of stuck in my throat. But after two or three times saying it, I sort of mumbled it. And by the fourth or fifth time, I guess I was shouting it as much as everybody else. And I think it was a moment that took me to a new level of commitment. As it did many other people who were in the church that morning. And Fred made us all feel very much alive. He had so much energy, and he inspired us. And he was, you know, he was such a warm personality. And so just being around Fred, I made everybody feel stronger. And it was only 3 weeks to that that my partner knocked on door on the morning of December 4th, and I opened it. He was already in a suit and tie, and he said, the chairman's been murdered, the pig's been stuck in the crib this morning. And that started me that same morning. I mean, I couldn't believe it, because Fred made us all feel so alive, and hear that he had been killed, which was really hard to understand.
What a heartbreak. You know, Jeffrey, please, I want to make your voice is cutting in and out a little bit. So just if you're talking directly into your mic, because this is such an important story. I mean, you knew Fred, and I just can't imagine somebody like you and others who knew and worked with Fred getting that particular news. We are offering your book. We're delighted to offer your book, Jeffrey Haas, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. This is so important. I know there's a film that's going to be coming out pretty soon, but for people who really want the inside story, Jeffrey, I think they really need to read your book. Just quickly sum up for us, because I've got to play another clip and pitch and have people calling in. By the way, we did have an anonymous pledge of $500. We need to raise another $1,500. If three other people call and pledge at the $500 level at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We will make our goal. Fred Hampton, to me, one of the greatest leaders of this in the whole era of civil rights and black power movements, and he was lost. The FBI, they recognized, I suppose, what a danger he was. That Jeff, they were always worried about a quote-unquote black messiah coming forward, and they had to make sure that if anybody showed that possibility, that they would be assassinated. But Before I go to another clip, Jeffrey Haas, just tell us basically what your book is about.
My book is about Fred Hampton, who he was, a little bit about his history, his family history that were part of the Great Migration. I discovered in talking to his mother that she had babysat for Emmett Till, for Mamie Till, I mean, and as babysat for Emmett Till. After Emmett Till was killed, his body was taken to the Rainer Funeral Home, and of course, the whole world saw his how he had been beaten before he was killed. 15 years later, Fred Hampton's body also was at the Rainer Funeral Home. Well, the book is also, in addition to being about Fred, it's about our 13-year legal saga to uncover who was responsible for that raid. And we began with the Chicago police, who had been assigned to Edward Hanrahan, the prosecutor, a politically ambitious man who was the heir apparent to Daley. The police came in the morning, although they said it was the Panthers had attacked them. The physical evidence, as we gathered it, showed, in fact, the police came in and fired 90 shots. They came in with shotguns, a carbine, a 45 caliber machine gun, and handguns. And they fired and they killed Brenda, they killed Mark Clark at the front door. They used their machine gun into the middle bedroom and shot three people. Doc Satchel had four bullets in his colon. And then there was a superficial wound in Fred Hampton. And then I spoke to his surviving fiance that morning, and she said they pulled her out of the bedroom. Two cops went in, and one of them said, "Is he dead yet?" And she said, "I heard two shots." And the other one said, "He's good and dead now." And that's right. How December 4th started, and that's how Fred Hampton was executed. We started by knowing the role of Hanrahan and the police, but the 13-year trial showed that, in fact, the FBI and the FBI's COINTELPRO program started the conspiracy. They were the ones who gave the police a floor plan that was produced by an FBI informant named O'Neill. That floor plan showed the bed where Hampton and Johnson would be sleeping.
You know what, Jeff, hold that thought, because I want to give out the phone number again, but please stay with us to continue this story. I want to give out the phone number. You just mentioned Ronald Satchel, and I'd like to play a clip of Ronald Satchel that is also included, by the way, in the material that we are offering. Again, we're offering up the book, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther, by Jeffrey Haas. He's our guest on the line with us right now. We're also offering up rare material, material from deep within the Pacifica Radio archives, some of which you will not get anywhere else. It's an MP3 disc, and the pledge level is $75 for that. And some of this material is very, very rare, including the case of Fred Hampton, that is right now still on Reel to Reel. We have to save that. It's an exclusive piece for Pacifica Radio Archives. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I still need to raise another $1,500 for those of you who get both of the items, which is what I would suggest you do. Get the book as well as the exclusive PRA MP3. That pledge is only $195 for both items. I just need 11 people calling. That's only $33 a month. It's probably less than you spend at, you know, your local coffee shop. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Jeff, we're going to go on to a clip from Ronald Satchel, who was in the apartment the night Fred was killed, and then we'll come back to you.
My name is Ronald Satchel, and I'm a plaintiff in the suit, and I'm a survivor. I was one of the occupants in the apartment that night. I was in the north bedroom, which was adjacent to Fred's room, and I was shot six times with machine gun fire. And right now, I'm just going to court trying to find out what's going to come about this suit. As I recall it, there was a lot of harassment that members of the party received in the form of being arrested for selling newspapers, you know, being stopped in automobiles and given tickets and stuff, and being taken to jail. You know, there were a lot of injustices that we, you know, received. And at that time, you have to understand the mood in the black community. And, you know, the relationship that the Black Panther Party had, the animosity between that organization and the police was only a reflection between, you know, the police and the black community. Because at that time, a lot of people had been gunned down. And it was real tense at this particular time because Fred had had his appeal denied, so he knew he was going to go back to jail. And, you know, some people thought that he might not go back to jail, that he might, you know, want to become a fugitive or something. You know, I was in bed asleep, and I recall being awakened by a knock on the door, and it was only a matter of seconds after that when I heard gunfire, and I realized bullets was coming through the room. So after I got up, I attempted to put my clothes on. The only thing I could think of doing was getting on the floor. And that's where I was shot, while on the floor.
Just real testimony there, and that is the voice of Ronald Satchel, and that is part of the Pacifica Radio Archives material, the MP3 disc, that and a lot more in depth about the case. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I must raise $2,000 this hour.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
Pledge at the $120 level, you will get The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. If you don't know anything about Fred Hampton, if you don't know his history, he's one of our greatest leaders that was shot down. I loved Fred Hampton. I have all the time in the world for him, for the work that he did and gave his life for, truly loving the people. We're also offering up for a $75 pledge the exclusive material about Fred Hampton from the Pacifica Radio Archives, and included in it the archives of Acid, the ask the archives to add in audio from a meeting between the Black Panther Party and the Young Patriots, who were a group of impoverished white people. And they were able to come together with the Black Panther Party in Chicago, also coming together with the Young Lords, the American Indian Movement, the real original Rainbow Coalition. But you know what? I have to make a last call for this material, because I can no longer offer you Fred Hampton material if I don't make my goal of $2,000 for this hour. So I really, really need a few angels to, if you could call and pledge at the $1,000 level, get this material and donate it to schools in Chicago, schools in Southern California, schools in New York City. Let me tell you, they're not teaching about Fred Hampton in history classes in these schools. So it's up to you, the Sojourner Truth listener, to help us get this material around. On the line with us is Jeffrey Haas. We're delighted. He is the author of the book that we're offering, The Assassination of Fred Hampton. And you also wrote an article recently in Truth Out. And there's some new documents now suggesting that the head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, was directly involved. Just before you have to go, and I've got to beg our listeners for more money, just tell us about that and any final words that you might have, Jeffrey Haas.
Well, thank you. At the trial, we uncovered that it was the FBI COINTELPRO program that specifically said to destroy and neutralize the Panthers by any means necessary and prevent the rise of a messiah who could unify the masses. It was acting on those mandates that Special Agent Mitchell and Hoover and informant O'Neill booked up this floor plan, gave it to the Raiders, and that led to the execution of Fred Hampton. Most recently, we uncovered actually an FOIA request of 5 years ago by Aaron Leonard, we uncovered Mitchell's personnel file. And that showed that not only did O'Neill get a reward after the raid for the murder of Fred, but also control agent Roy Mitchell also got a reward for the success of the raid. And that reward was sent by Hoover himself. It was initiated by Hoover's top two lieutenants, the head of domestic intelligence and the head of extremism, so that they were monitoring Mitchell and O'Neill even before the raid. And they were watching the delivery of the floor plan to Hanrahan, and then they rewarded them after Fred and Mark were killed. So this shows that the FBI at the very top was following the Mitchell and O'Neill use of this floor plan, use of the informant, and continuously after the raid, the FBI internally was referring it to as referring to it as a success, and that Mitchell continued to get bonuses and praise for his skillful use of the informant to carry out the mission of the FBI. We would have liked to have gone up to Hoover at the time. The judge said, you don't have direct evidence. This evidence exists in the new documents that were uncovered. We might have even probably would have tried to get to John Mitchell and Nixon because we think in some ways they either knew about it, ratified it, and certainly learned about it afterward and approved of it. So this conspiracy started at the very top. Fred Hampton, as you said, was a target because he was such a powerful, inspiring, personable organizer who could reach out to all groups. As you mentioned, he worked with the Young Patriots and Appalachian Group. He worked with the Young Lords, a Puerto Rican former street gang. He worked with the anti-war movement. And Fred and the Panthers had a program somewhat similar to Black Lives Matter today for land, bread, housing, against police brutality, for community control of police, against mass incarceration. These were the things that brought various communities together and also that Fred was such a powerful symbol of, and that he had the ability to reach welfare mothers, young college students, law professors, and really put together a very powerful and a movement that was very threatening not only to the power structure in Chicago, but was part of a national movement that the Panthers had that had a great deal of energy and was making demands that showed why does the Panthers have to feed hungry kids in the morning? Why do we have a society that lets kids go to school hungry, that doesn't provide medical care for everybody? So the Panthers not only were providing programs, they were educating people. As Fred said, these welfare mothers may not love socialism, but they sure love the breakfast program. And so that was part of the Panthers' method of educating and organizing. And with all their programs, they always talked about education, not just providing for the people, but educating people to take power for themselves.
Well, and Jeff, this is just marvelous. And I'll have to say, I want people to get your book. We still have to raise another $1,302 before the top of the hour. And I believe in you, the Sojourner Truth listener, because I know that you want to learn about Fred Hampton. You want to learn why I think that he's one of the greatest leaders that we have had in several generations, and why this book, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and the Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther, is so important and so vital for our movements right now. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. If you're listening right now, I really need your support. Here are what some key people, Michelle Alexander, the author of The New Jim Crow, she says that Jeff House's book, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, quote, an extraordinary retelling of a shameful chapter in our history, reveals just how easily justice can be thwarted and malicious aims disguised when powerful people conspire to violate the law, commit murder, and manipulate procedural to avoid responsibility for their crimes. A cautionary tale as well as story of heroism. And Jeff, I'm gonna, I want you to come back and when we're not in fun drive and just have a full in-depth discussion where I'm not interrupting you to beg for money, but I do have to raise another $1,300 by the top of the hour. So I want to congratulate you on your work. I want to thank you for taking the time for joining us, and please promise that you'll come back.
I will come back, and I want to pledge $200, and I want to get those audios that I have.
Oh, my goodness. So Jeff Hosfield pledging, please, if anyone out there can match Jeff Hass's $200 pledge, we so appreciate it. We didn't expect it, but we certainly need it. Thank you so very much, Jeff Haas.
Thank you. What we do.
All righty. What I'd like to do now is actually to go on to another clip of the exclusive material, the case of Fred Hampton. And it just is about the FBI operations against the Panthers. Think about today, the fact that the Trump administration paid no attention to the white nationalist, racist, white supremacist, terrorist organizations, but instead had focused their lens on the movement for black lives and trying to accuse them of terrorism. All righty. So what happened, Fred Hampton, this kind of COINTELPRO operation? We don't want to repeat our history. We need to know the history so as not to repeat it. I'm challenging you to call us at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And get this material and make sure that every young person you know about Fred Hampton, know what happened. Let's go to a clip that now talks about the FBI operations against the Panthers and how deep it was.
It turns out that they had a really broad, complicated, widespread, you know, very conscious program of political suppression that they were operating, primarily against the Black Panther Party, but also against other groups, SDS notably. I think they were a little less successful in penetrating some other groups than they were with the party. But they also had a lot of more, a better way to move, which was to agitate local police departments against the Panthers. And I think that that's what's being found out, and what will be found out is that where there were confrontations, as there were all over the country, between Panther Party members and local police departments. I mean, they were in Detroit, Colorado, and Des Moines, Iowa, and New Orleans, and L.A., and San Francisco again and again, and in Oakland, and New York, and Brooklyn, and Chicago, and, you know, other places, New Haven. And the FBI had a counterintelligence program that reached into all those cities. And I think a total of 22 cities where they had Panther squads that were active on one level or another. And where the documents that have come to light in our trials show that they were actively trying to not just watch them, but to undermine what they were doing, to disrupt their activities, to cause them to get hurt or killed. They fomented the conflicts between the Black Panther Party and the United Slaves Organization in Los Angeles and San Diego, and you can read their memoranda and reports and see them saying, we've got to capitalize on these differences. We have to do whatever we can to cripple the Black Panthers. Then we refer to shootouts and killings and things like this, and they would brag about their accomplishments to each other in these memos, and they did in terms of the raid in Chicago. They paid a special bonus to the informant O'Neill of $300, and they had applied for this in terms of, by the time of the raid, just for in behalf of the information that had already been provided. And there's a memo coming back from Hoover's office saying, well, in connection with your suggestion that we give O'Neill a bonus, why don't you tell us all about how instrumental he was in the raid where Fred Hampton was killed? And there's a memo back saying, well, you know, they couldn't have done this raid without the information he provided, and it was of great value, saved the lives of police officers in this raid. Where, I mean, they're glowing with pride, you know, and he was paid this money.
And there are other similarly deep and, you know, like profound showings in these memoranda of how deeply they were into trying to wipe out the party, you know, trying to do it in by any means that they could come across. They sent anonymous letters to people like the head of the, there's a big kind of combined street gang organization in the south side of Chicago, of the Black Peacestone Nation, really a huge federation of former just gangs. And they sent a letter to the leader of that saying that the Panthers had a contract out for him and that why didn't he do something about it, you know. And then they wrote, they have to write reports to get permission to do stuff like this, and they say why they think it's going to work, and, you know, and they say possibly this will cause the Rangers to take the Peacestone Nation to take retaliatory action and against the Panther leadership, you know. It's all right out there, and there's enough of it in our case to show that it was going on every place.
Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Lifting up Chairman Fred Hampton. He was the head of the Black Panther Party. He was an incredible leader. He brought together people, quote unquote, called rednecks or hillbillies, together with the Black Panthers, together with the young lords, the Puerto Rican young Latinos organizing in Chicago at the time. A huge COINTELPRO operation. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. $120 pledge. We will send you the book, The Assassination of Fred Hampton, How the FBI and Chicago Police Murdered a Black Panther. For that's $120 pledge. And that will be your thank you gift. Pledge at $75. You will get this exclusive material on Fred Hampton from the Pacifica Radio Archives, and you could pledge to get both of those thank you gifts for $195. And you know what? I don't know if people know what time it is. The white supremacist organizations, the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, whatever names they're calling themselves, right? They are growing. They are organizing. They are preparing. What are we doing on our side? We need to sort out and understand what happened with Fred Hampton, how deep the FBI operation went. Because let me tell you, they're likely using a lot of the same playbooks today. So are you getting ready? Are you being prepared? Are you making sure that young people in your life are well informed with this history? I don't think so, because if you were, the phone lines will be lit up right now. I need to raise another $1,000, and I only have about 8 minutes to do it, and I have to believe in you, listener. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Learn about Fred Hampton. Learn about the FBI COINTELPRO's operation then and the similarities likely to what they're doing right now. Let's go to that clip right now.
There were cries of murder in public within hours after the raid. And so he responded to that by having the 14 policemen give an exclusive report of the raid to the Chicago Tribune, which published photographs that were provided by the police that circled bullet holes that proved that the Panthers had fired at the police. And then they offered an exclusive reenactment to all three Chicago television stations, and they were turned down except WBBM, the local CBS affiliate, went for it. The conditions were unacceptable to NBC and ABC because Hanrahan, the state's attorney, demanded the right to edit the presentation, even though it ran on the news. In other words, it was going to be privately edited film by the state's attorney presented on the news. They did it. And you see this very arch presentation, each officer going through the reenactment one step at a time. And then I stepped over here, I put the machine gun in single fire, and I, being very careful not to hit the woman on the bed in front of me, I moved the machine gun up. And he's talking about firing through the wall of the apartment. And this version of the raid, which recounts how the Panthers fired at them and they asked three times for ceasefire and so forth, we simply took that material and cut it against the footage that we shot in the apartment on that morning, and the effect is overwhelming. You don't really need to know any more than that, because you can see the police saying the straight face, offering their position, and all the same. Only in this case, it's totally unique. We had the footage in that apartment from that morning, and the effect is overpowering.
The effect is overpowering. So the police caught lying and lying to the media, how mainstream media just bought the line, hook, line, and sinker, and that's what they put out. You can get the real story of what happened with the assassination of Fred Hampton. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'm making a last, very last call for this Fred Hampton material, the book that we are offering up. I still need to raise another $1,000. The assassination of Fred Hampton book by Jeffrey House. It's a $120 pledge. The exclusive material just put together by the Pacifica Radio Archives for you, the Fred Hampton Pacifica Radio Archives Collection MP3 disc, $75 pledge. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I have a minute. I've got a minute to go. In a minute, I need to raise another $1,000. With two people, please put me out of my misery and pledge, call and pledge at the $500 level. One person calling and pledging at the $1,000 level. Fred Hampton gave his life for our freedom. The very least we can do is to find out about him, get his story, and share it with as many people as you know. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. All right, just got a $120 anonymous pledge coming in, but I need a lot more than that. This is Margaret Prescott. Y'all embarrassing me. I'm getting to the top of the hour. I've got a few seconds. I'm behind in my goal. I was trying to raise $2,000 to keep this show on the air, to keep this station open, and we're falling a bit short. So any of you listening right now, please pick up the phone and call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I want to thank all of you who've called and pledged, but keep the phone lines going and keep this show, keep this station on the air. Thank you for calling and pledging, and thank the team, Kiana Williams, assistant producer Romero Funes. Thank you for calling and pledging. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a celebration. The award-winning Midnight Ravers can now be heard every Friday from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. So wake the town and tell the people. We'll continue to present the best in music, history, and social commentary, along with expert discussion of the important issues and events of today and yesteryear. So keep it locked into WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Andre Pinnock Smith, a Harlem resident and mother of Justin Smith, whose life was stolen when he was beaten to death by law enforcement in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1998. On October 22nd, the 27th National Day of Protest to Stop Police Brutality, Repression, and the Criminalization of a Generation. In New York City, Worth Square at 24th Street and 5th Avenue at 11:30 a.m. rally, followed by a march to the 33rd Street PATH station to join the Newark rally. This year's call and see listings of other actions around the country at October22.org.
Get up, stand up. Don't make them push you around. Stand up for your rights. Come on, brothers. Get up, stand up.
Tune in for the Brooklyn Folk Festival, coming to you live on the radio Saturday night, October 22nd, over listener-supported WBAI Radio here in New York City. That's Saturday from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. The full four-day festival begins Thursday, October 20th, and goes through Sunday, October 23rd, featuring blues, jug bands, songwriters, music for children and families, salsa, old-time string bands, music from Mexico, Peru, China, Ukraine, and Brazil. And don't miss our famous absurd contest, the Banjo Toss, Banjo Throwing Competition. For more information on the Brooklyn Folk Festival, including schedule and tickets, please visit brooklynfolkfest.com and tune in live on WBAI from 7 to 11 p.m. on Saturday night.
Whether you get up early on Saturday morning or stay up late on Friday night, we have good news for you.
Back of the Book, the only radio program that has endorsed hell, will be there for you every Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
Regular listeners will no longer have to figure out which Saturday morning is the alternate one. Back of the Book, every Saturday morning at 5, only here on WBAI New York.
From WPFW News in Washington, I'm Sue Goodwin. Today is Friday, October 21st. Here are some headlines. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol today formally issued a subpoena to former President Trump. Trump is the highest-ranking individual targeted for testimony by the panel, which has been building a case that the ex-president was the primary instigator of the deadly riot. Representatives Fannie Thompson and Liz Cheney, the chair and vice chair of the panel, are requesting Trump turn over documents by November 4th and appear for a deposition on November 14th. In a letter to Trump dated today, they wrote, quote, "As demonstrated in our hearings, we have assembled overwhelming evidence that you personally orchestrated and oversaw a multi-part effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election," close quote. The subpoena paves the way for a potentially historic court fight over whether a former president can be compelled to answer questions before a legislative panel looking into matters related to a continuing criminal investigation. Representative Cheney said this week that if Trump refused to comply, the lawmakers would, quote, "take the steps we need to take after that," close quote, although it is unclear how successful their enforcement efforts would be, particularly if Republicans take control of the House in January and disband the committee. In related news, Steve Bannon, a former strategist for Donald Trump, was sentenced to 4 months in prison this morning on charges of contempt of Congress. Bannon had defied a subpoena from the House January 6 committee, prompting the committee to refer Bannon to the Justice Department for prosecution. Bannon is the first person incarcerated for contempt of Congress in more than 50 years. Bannon was also ordered to pay $6,500 in fines. Prosecutors had sought a sentence of 6 months in jail plus $200,000 in fines, while Bannon's lawyers had asked for him to be sentenced only to probation. Bannon is expected to appeal the sentence. On Thursday, the EPA announced it is investigating whether Mississippi state agencies discriminated against the state's majority black capital city by refusing to fund improvements for its failing water system. The probe comes in response to a complaint filed by the NAACP alleging the state's use of federal dollars has favored whiter communities. In a letter to the NAACP, the EPA stated it will investigate whether the Mississippi Department of Health and the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality, quote, discriminated against the majority black population of the city of Jackson on the basis of race in the funding of water infrastructure and treatment programs and activities, close quote. The long-running Jackson water crisis came to a head in late August and early September, when residents went for weeks without clean, running water due to failures at the city's water treatment facility. And Britain's Conservative Party is moving to quickly replace outgoing Prime Minister Liz Truss after she stepped down yesterday amid intense political and economic pressures. Truss's 45 days as Prime Minister was the shortest in British history. Several British lawmakers are vying to fill the role, including Truss's direct predecessor, Boris Johnson, who was pushed out amid scandals related to staff parties.